This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening and welcome to tonight's Sukkah Shir, insights and inspiration for Sukkahs. A few very interesting ideas that relate to Sukkahs and to Simchas Torah. If I could just begin again by thanking Torah Anytime. They've asked all speakers to ask listeners that if they enjoy the Shir, they should press the follow button and share the Shir with others to fulfill Torah Anytime's objective of being marbits as much Torah as possible. The first idea relates to a very important theme of Sukkot, and that is Diras Arai, Diras Keva, a temporary dwelling and a more permanent one. I'll begin with an anecdote that I heard from Elimelech Biderman, and he says a very interesting anecdote which brings out this point. There was a person who was driving towards the border, and there were guards on the border because they were on the lookout for smugglers. And the guy was driving a black, shiny, new Mercedes. And the security guard on the border, he suspected that he was smuggling something. He didn't know what, but he knew as the car approached that he was going to stop and check it very thoroughly. The car stops, the driver steps out, and he checks the car, and he looks all over, he checks the driver, but there's nothing, he can't find anything. He lets him through, and he crosses the border. A few days later, again, a black, shiny, new Mercedes drives up to the security guards approaching the border, and again, the same patrolman, the same security guard, is standing there checking and looks through the car, inspects it very thoroughly, and can't find anything. He's bemused because he's sure that this guy is smuggling something, and this carries on for many days and many weeks, and until the actual driver of the Mercedes and the security guard become quite friendly. And after many months of exactly the same thing repeating itself, the driver of the Mercedes says to the security guard, "This is actually my last trip, and I'd like to just say goodbye to you." The security guard says to him, "Look, I know you're smuggling something. I haven't caught you out once. I've checked your car many, many times thoroughly. I've checked you. There's nothing doing, but you've got to let me in on your secret. What is it? What are you smuggling?" So the guy denied everything. "No, I'm not smuggling anything." He said, "Look, I'm asking you as a friend. I'm not going to pass this on. I'll keep it a secret. But I'm just so curious. What are you smuggling?" The driver said, "You promise?" He makes him promise. He believes him. And he said, "Okay, I'll tell you what I'm smuggling. I'm smuggling Mercedes cars." Now, what does Reb Elimelech Biderman derive from this anecdote? He derives the concept of Arai and Keva. Sometimes there is Ikka, there is Tofel. There is the main thing, there is the subordinate thing. The main thing, this black, new, shiny Mercedes car goes through the border day in, day out, and the guard overlooks it. He's looking for things in the car, but he doesn't find anything, of course. He confuses the Ikka and the Tofel, the Arai and the Keva. And that, of course, is a major theme of Sukkahs. And in fact, it features on the very first Omud of the Masechta. How so? So if you take a look on your sheet, the first box on the page, this is the opening Omud of Maseches Sukkah. The Mishnah says there, the first Mishnah in the whole Masechta says, Sukkah shi gavoya lemar mi esrim amo psula. A sukkah which is higher than 20 amas high, which is between 30 and 40 feet, is pasul. It's no good. Rabbi Yehuda is machshe, but the Chachomim pasul it, and that indeed is the halacha. Now the Gemara wants to know, minohan imili. Where do we know this from? How do you know that a sukkah more than 20 amas is no good? So the Gemara presents three reasons, the third of which is on our sheet. Rava Amar, this is the third reason why a sukkah more than 20 amas is psula. Rava Amar mehacha, we derive it from here. It says in the pasuk, basukkos teishvu shivas yomim. Amra Torah, the Torah says, kol shivas hayomim tzei midiras keva v'shev b'diras arai. For all 7 days, you have to leave your diras keva, your fixed abode, and move into a diras arai, into a temporary structure. Ad esrim amar, Adam Oita Dirosa Diras Arai. Until 20 amas, up to 30, 40 feet, until 20 amas, a person makes his dira, his hut, his shed, his residence, temporary, Arai. Lamala mi esrim amas, but beyond that, if a person makes a structure which is higher than that, Ein Adam Oita Dirosa Diras Arai. Ela Diras Keva. That is a Diras Keva. Fine, that's Rava's explanation. Amale Abaya. So Abaya now comes along to Rava and he questions that source. Elameato, if that's the case, also mechitzas shel barzel v'sichech al gabon. If a person makes walls out of metal, out of bars and out of iron. Hachanami dulei havesukah. Are you going to tell me that it's not considered a valid sukkah? Many of us have sukkahs where the walls are very permanent. Concrete, brick, metal walls, that's totally valid. Says Abaya, if you're telling me that the idea is that a diras arai is a temporary sort of makeshift structure and a diras keva is a more permanent one, are you telling me that if you make the walls out of hard, fixed material, it's no good? Omele, no. Rava responds to Abaya and answers as follows. Hachi kaminelach, this is what I meant. Ad esrim amo, until 20 amos, the odom oise diras a diras arai, that a person makes his residence a diras arai, ki ovid le diras keva nami nofik. If he chooses to make it out of more substantial material, that is fine, that is yotze. Lemala me'esrim amos. But if he decides to make a sukkah more than 20 amos, the odom oise diras a diras keva, that's considered a diras keva, a fixed residence, ki ovid le diras arai, nami le nofik. Even if he makes it a diras arai, it's not going to work. What do you see from this Gemara? What's Gemara saying? Rava is saying the third reason that the sukkah cannot be more than 20 amos high is diras arai, diras keva. What does that mean? Up to 20 amos, a person will choose to make his sukkah out of any material, because by definition, less than 20 amos is a diras arai. If he chooses to make it out of sort of strong material or flimsy material, doesn't matter. More than 20 amos, he's going to have to make it out of substantial material. It won't stand if it's a flimsy fabric, if it's a flimsy material. Therefore, more than 20 amos, where he's going to have to make it out of a diras keva, substantial material, then he's not yetzer. Less than 20 amos, where he could choose to make it out of any type of material, whatever material he chooses is okay. That is Rava from the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Beis Omid Aleph. Reb Nachum Ziv of Kelm explains an approach. What is the perspective? What is the correct Jewish perspective when it comes to material possessions? And this will explain our Gemara and the Shitta of Rava. There is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, famous Mishnah. In the sixth parak in the fourth mission, it's the second box on the page. If you're listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. The Mishnah says, Kach hidarka shel Torah. This is the way of Torah. Pas b'melach teichal. A person should eat bread with salt, mayim b'masura tishte, and he should drink water in measures, you know, not a huge amount, just a measured amount. Vala oretz tishon. And a person should sleep on the ground, etc. And if he does this, then he'll be happy. He'll be happy in this world and in the next world. It's an interesting Mishnah. By the way, when Ramesh Shapiro, when he learned this Mishnah, he parsed it totally differently. He said, Ramesh Shapiro, of course, he built the famous yeshiva in Chachmei Lublin, which was ahead of its time. It was the most fabulous yeshiva. It broke all precedent of what yeshivas looked like. And he built this beautiful, magnificent building, and he read the Mishnah as follows. Kach hidarka shel Torah? Is this the way of Torah? Pas b'melach teichal, mayim b'msura tishteh, v'al oretz tishan, etc. That's not the way. Let a person... Okay, that's Ramesh Shapiro. But, there, like I said, in Nochem Zev Ziv of Kalm, it has a different approach. Kach hidarka shel Torah. A person should eat pas b'melach, mayim b'msura, v'al oretz tishan. Not that he has to eat bread or drink water or sleep on the ground. It's just that when a person eats bread, a person drinks water or sleeps on the ground, he is not likely to indulge in those things. If he's got to eat is dry bread, he'll need what he'll eat in order to satiate himself and to feed himself and to keep body and soul together. And then he'll move on. If he only drinks water, then he's not going to overindulge. If he's going to sleep on the floor, he's not going to have a lion. The temptation is not there. Says the Nachum Zev Ziv of Kelm, that's what it means. A person can eat nice food, can drink nice drinks, and can sleep in a nice bed. But he should do so as if it was bread, as if it was water, as if it was lying on the floor, where he's not going to indulge and the material possessions are not going to control him, but he is in control of those material possessions. Do an experiment. When you've got people at your Shabbos table and there's drinks on the table, If there's Coke and there's orange juice and nice drinks, then it's unlikely the person is going to just drink to satiation, to just drink and then leave over things. He'll drink and he'll finish the glass. When it comes to water, a person will drink what he needs to drink and he'll leave stuff over. There'll be water left in the glass at the end of the meal. Unlikely there'll be Coke, orange juice or whiskey or whatever it is left in the glass at the end of the meal. Because a person will have more than perhaps is necessary when it comes to nicer drinks. But when it comes to bread and water and sleeping on the ground, you have what you need and not more. So says Reb Nachum Zev, beautiful pshat, when it comes to material possessions, you can have nice things, enjoy them, but don't let them control you. You be in control of them. Don't indulge unnecessarily in them. Now that is pshat in Rava. How so? Sukkos is man simchosenu. What is true simcha? True simcha is when you are in control of your surroundings, of your material possessions, and not that they're in control of you. And therefore, this is represented by Rava's opinion here as to why the sukkah, more than 20 amos, is no good. Up to 20 amos, a person has the choice. I can make it out of thick material, or I can make it out of thin, flimsy material. Therefore, I'm in control. But more than 20 amos, I have to make it out of strong material. Once I have to have this, then I'm in trouble. If a person can only eat fancy food, fine meats, fine wine, he's in trouble. If a person could have a cheese sandwich for supper, a bowl of cereal because that's what there is available, or that's all there is, or that's all there's time for, then he can also enjoy his fine meat and fine wine and whatever he decides to have. But if he has to have something, then that is a recipe for disaster. He's never going to be happy, because when that thing is not available, he's going to be very unhappy. And that's what really the Rava is saying. Up to 20 amos, when a person has the choice to make it out of a thick material or a thin material, a diras keva type material or a diras arai type material, so then he can choose and he can enjoy his material possessions. But more than 20 amos, he has to, just structurally, he has to make it out of a thick material. Once he is bound by it, he's consumed by it, and he's sort of a servant to it, then he's in trouble. That's really what the Mishnah is teaching. That's pshat in Rava. I.e., when external circumstances, like I say here, cease to control us, and we're focused on the ikkah being sitting in a sukkah, that a life of ruchnius and the material possessions don't just sort of pull us aside from that, then that is the real route, the way to achieve Zman Simchoseinu. Okay, let's press on. The next idea, I want to now fast forward to the end of Sukkos, and talk about Simchas Torah, and the last laning of the year, and that of course is V'zeis HaBracha. A beautiful insight I want to share with you on the last pasuk in the whole Torah. The pasuk says, "Ulechol hayod hachazaka, ulechol hamira hagodla she'osa Moshe le'inei kol Yisrael." The final pasuk in the Torah, at which point we say "Chazak, Chazak." The Chosen Torah concludes with his final bracha. We do hagba, and then of course we go straight on and we lay in from Sefer Bereishis. Now, this final pasuk of the Torah is actually the epitaph of Moshe Rabbeinu. In a way, this is what appears on Moshe Rabbeinu's matzeva. This is his greatest praise. Now, what does it actually mean? So Rashi, of course, tells us, if you take a look at the third box, "Alechol hayod hachazaka," what is that referring to? "Shekibol es ha-Torah beluchos biyodov." He received the Torah with his hands. So when it says "Alechol hayod hachazaka," it's referring to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, he received the Torah, etc. "Alechol hamoira hagadol," and all the awesome greatness and the great things that he did in the Midbar, says Rashi, "Nisim v'gvurshim Midbar hagadol v'hanoira," all the miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu facilitated in the Midbar, in this awesome, huge Midbar. And lastly, "Le'enei Kod Yisrael," what is that referring to? "She'nosu libo lishbar haluchais," the Moshe Rabbeinu, his sort of heart gave rise to break the luchais le'enehem in front of the Jewish people. "Shenemar," as it says, "va'ashabrim le'enehem, v'hiskima dais HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'dayte," and HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with Moshe Rabbeinu, "Shenema asher shibarto," which is interpreted to mean, "Yashakecha she'shibarto," well done for breaking them. There endeth the Torah. Well, it seems to be quite an anticlimax. You know, you finally get to the end of the Torah, and this is the greatest praise of Moshe Rabbeinu. "Lechol hayad hachazok, lechol hamira hagodla she'osa Moshe le'enei kol Yisrael." What is that referring to? Moshe broke the luchais. it sort of takes the wind out of the sails of the whole occasion. Why are you referring to the luchos, breaking the luchos at the very end? Is that Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest achievement? What exactly is being referred to over here? So I want to share with you two separate ideas, two totally independent ideas, but both are very beautiful. The first idea is in the writings of the Be'er Yosef. The Be'er Yosef is Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Salant, and he says something fascinating. There are three famous Salants. There's Rabbi Shmuel Salant, who was the Rav of Yerushalayim. There was Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, and there was Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Salant, who authors the Be'er Yosef. So this is what he says. It seems very strange that the whole Torah concludes with the breaking of the luchos. Our question. Yesh lechaven, says Rabbi Yosef Salant. Bamesha omru b'gemara, the Gemara says in Menachos, omru ish lochish, pa'omim shebitula shel Torah zehu yosoda. Sometimes breaking, destroying Torah is actually the creation or the springboard of proliferation of Torah, of kiyum of Torah. Tichsiv asher shibarta, om HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe yashkecha shibarta. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos and HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with him. What is that all about? Says the Be'er Yosef, yesh levaya, you can explain as follows. The Moshe shibaret haluchos mitzad shedarash kal v'chomer mipesach. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu break the luchos? What was going through his mind? What was the rationale? Says the Gemara, says the Be'er Yosef, that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos because he made a kal v'chomer. What does that mean? Here we go. The ma pesach shehu echov mitaryag mitzvos. The korban pesach is just one of the 613 mitzvos. And yet, Omra Torah v'chol ben nechel yechol boy, anyone who is rebelling is not allowed to partake of the Torah, of the Korban Pesach, I mean. HaTorah kulakan, if you've got the entire Torah here, I'm bringing down the Luchos, which contains the entire Torah, v'Yisrael mumrim, and the Jewish people are rebelling, they're dancing around an Egel HaZohov, al achas v'kama, v'kama, how much more so, they're not allowed to partake of this Torah. Really, a kal v'chomer is one of the 13 yud gimel midas. We know that we say in shul in the morning, there are 13 ways to extrapolate the Torah shebichsav, and one of them is a kal v'chomer. So Moshe Rabbeinu is using one of the midas to understand Torah shebichsav, i.e., one of the tools of Torah shebal peh. This is one of the klalim, one of the rules of Torah Shebal Peh. And based on this vehicle, this tool of Torah Shebal Peh, this kal v'chomer, lokach es haluchos shehin ma'aseh Elokim. He takes the luchos, which are the word, the handiwork of God, v'shebehon nichlal kol ha'Torah kula, where the entire Torah, if you like, is contained therein. He references Rashi, the famous Rashi in Non Matan Torah, in Shmos Perek Chof Pasuk Yud. Ve'etne lechoes haluchos o'evim v'atorah v'hamitzvah shekosavti l'roisom. And Rashi says over there, kol tariag mitzvahs bichlal aseres hadibros hadvarim, hein, that the entire 613 commandments are somehow included in the aseres hadibros. Rabbeinu Sadja Pirish Baz Horus Sheyisei Dibur V'Dibur Mitzvahs HaTluyos Bo, etc. And Rabbi Sadja somehow connects all 613 to each of the Aseres HaDibros, and somehow, you know, it's like there are 10 hooks upon he finds sources for on each of the Aseres HaDibros. He's able to sort of root them back to the Aseres HaDibros, all 613 commandments. So you see that the Luchos represent the entire Torah Shebichsav. Final paragraph. Val Smach HaKal V'Chomer. And based on this kal v'chomer, shehu michlali Torah shebal peh, which again is a tool of Torah shebal peh, the oral law, lokach Moshe es haluchos, Moshe Rabbeinu takes the luchos, v'shibrom le'enei kol Yisrael, and he breaks them in front of the entire Jewish people. V'hari zebol ha'horis, and this comes to teach, here comes the point. L'lamdeinu, goydel koicha shel Torah, the greatness of the koyach of Torah shebal peh. That based on one principle of Torah Shebal Peh, it looks like I'm breaking the Torah, to break the luchos which represent the entire Torah Shebichsav, aval adarabba, zehu yesoida, that actually is the foundation of it. Yesoid v'ikam lamdeinu goydel v'chayzek Torah Shebal Peh, aflis Torah Saksav. Amazing. Says the Bar Yosef, what this is teaching us is that the supremacy of Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebichsav without Torah Shebal Peh is a closed book. We've given examples over the years many times. Imagine, you know, this morning I put on tefillin. It says in the Torah, "Ksharatim lo'isa ledecha v'hoi l'totofos ben enecha." What does that mean? V'hoi l'totofos ben enecha, there should be totofos. What exactly does that mean? So there is a Torah Shebal Peh, which explains the Torah Shebichtav. Without the Torah Shebal Peh, the Torah Shebichtav is a closed book. Next week, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll take Lulav and Esrog. The Torah tells us to take pre-Eitz Hodor, which means a beautiful fruit. So who says it's an Esrog? Maybe it's to take an apple, a mango, a grape. Who says it's an Esrog? Of course, it's Torah Shebal Peh, which tells me that. So without the Torah Shebal Peh, the Torah Shebichtav is almost inaccessible. And that is what Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us. By using one of the tools of Torah Shebal Peh, i.e. a Kal V'Chomer, based on that logic, he breaks the Luchos, which represent the Torah Shebichsav, and the greatest accolade of Moshe Rabbeinu is him breaking the Luchos, which allows for the ongoing preservation of Torah, because the only way Torah is going to be preserved down the generations is by demonstrating a mastery of Torah Shebal Peh over Torah Shebichsav, because without Torah Shebal Peh, Torah Shebichsav will be lost, will be inaccessible. So that is the first idea of the Be'er Yosef. There is a separate and another beautiful idea. I forget where I saw this. Very, very beautiful idea. It's a Gemara. There's a Gemara in Pesachim, a well-known Gemara. The Gemara tells us of a person called Shimon HaAmsuni. The Gemara says, this is in the next box in paragraph 2b, Shimon HaAmsuni, and others say it was Nechemya Hamsuni, Hayodairish kol esim shabatayra. Every time it says the word es in the Torah, he came along and gave a drosh on it. Kivin shegia, but when he got to the posuk, le es Hashem elikecho tira, that posuk, you should fear Hashem, pirish, he stopped. Because he thought, how can I explain that es comes to be larabois, comes to include something, to fear Hashem, what else is there to fear? There's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fear. So my whole theory, I could have a PhD in S Larabois, that S, every single S in the Torah, comes to include something. But once he got to this pasuk, he said, I'm stuck. My theory doesn't work. And he had the intellectual honesty to stop and perish. And he said, he put aside his PhD, it can't be right. Amru lo Talmidav, so the Talmidim said to Shimon HaMsuni, Rebbe, all the theory till now, what are you going to do with them? You know, you've got through, say, 500 esim that you've darshaned. You now get to this one. It says, Shamim Kechatira. You can't find the pshat in it. So you're going to abandon all your droshes till now? Amalohem, famously, he said to them, Kashem shekibalti schal ha-drisha, kachani mekabal schal ha-prisha. Just like I received reward on the drisha, on expounding every esim in the Torah, kachani mekabal schal ha-prisha, I will also get schal for pulling back, for desisting and not continuing to darshan every S. Ad shebot Rabbi Akiva, until Rabbi Akiva came along, v'dorash, and he darshaned, I've got a pshat. S, Hashem elokecha tira, you know what it comes to include? S is always coming to include something. L'rabbis tamadei chachomim. Not only should you fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you should also fear tamadei chachomim. Now the question is, Shimon HaMsuni couldn't think of that. He darshaned every S in the Torah till now, with no doubt many creative, innovative ideas. And all of a sudden he gets to this one, it's Hashem Elokech Tira, and he's stuck. Couldn't he think of L'Rabbis Talmidei Chachomim? So the pshat I once saw is this. You know what it was that enabled Rabbi Akiva to see something that Shimon HaMsuni didn't see? What enabled him to darshan this was that Rabbi Akiva saw the intellectual honesty of Shimon HaMsuni. He was so honest, he was so L'Shem Shemayim, that he was able to darshan his whole life's work, every S in the Torah, but then he gets to Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, and he says, I'm stuck. And he was willing to put aside his life's work and to abandon his, like I say, his PhD thesis because of intellectual honesty. Rabbi Akiva was so misspoiled, he was so overwhelmed with Shimon HaMsuni's intellectual honesty, that he was able to darshan Es Hashem Elokecha Tira L'Rabbis Talmidei Chachomim. You fear not only Hashem, but you can also fear Talmidei Chachomim. That, perhaps, is also what's going on in the final accolade of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, in the final pasuk of the Torah, he breaks the luchos le'enei kol Yisrael, as Rashi brings, shenosu libo lishba haluchos le'eneihem. What was so great about that? Why is that the pinnacle of the praise of Moshe Rabbeinu? The answer is this. Think about it. Moshe Rabbeinu's life, his whole mission statement, his whole goal in life was to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, to give them the Torah, and they become the Am HaTorah, where they can subsequently march into Eretz Yisrael. That was his goal. So his whole life, for 60 years, he once had a share on it, the making of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he all his life till then, as a shepherd and as a leader in Kush and all the rest of it, was to give him the tools to become a leader. He then spends a year backwards and forwards, you know, negotiating, challenging Paro, going into the lion's den. He administers the Esemachus. He takes Klal Yisrael through the Yamsuf. He gets into the Midbar and all the Nisim in the Midbar. He goes up to Har Sinai. He battles with Malachim. He then comes down with the Luchos, and this is it. This is his great moment in life. But he has the intellectual honesty to turn around and say, they're not ready. The temptation was huge. Any other person would be very tempted to say, I've come so far, this is my life's goal, I'll give them the Torah and I'll come down, I'll punish the people who danced around the eagle. But Moshe Rabbeinu was so l'shem shemayim, was so honest, that he felt this was the wrong thing to do. And he was willing to forego his goal in life, his major mission statement, because he felt it was the wrong thing to do. And that really is ke'em what Shimon HaMsuni, that's what Rabbi Kiva saw in Shimon HaMsuni, this intellectual honesty that he praised and he said, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira is l'rabas tamidei chachamim, and that is true of Moshe Rabbeinu, of course. That is the amazing mysterious nefesh and the honesty of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why this is the final greatest praise of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, one final idea. This is an idea that I saw in the writings of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, in his work. He's got many, many svarim, and one of them is called Taima Dekra, a very geshmaka sefer, Taima Dekra, and he has a different way of looking at things, and he's got a very geshmaka ha'ora on the Haftarah that you'll see that is relevant to Simchas Torah again. So, take a look at the last box on the page. The Haftarah is actually the Haftarah of Parshas Miketz, but we rarely read it because it's normally Shabbos Chanukah. The pasuk says, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Vayokot Shlomo v'hinei chalom, v'yas mishteh l'chol avodov. Shlomo HaMelech wakes up, it's after David HaMelech has died, and Shlomo HaMelech has his famous dream. And in the dream, he asks for chochma, etc. And he makes a mishteh when he wakes up. Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Ubereish Koheles Rabba, in the beginning of Koheles Rabba, which of course we lain on Sukkos, Mekan Sha'esin Suda Legomer Shal Torah. Based on this, this is the source that you make a Suda, you make a celebration when you complete Torah. Because Shlomo HaMelech made a Mishteh L'chol Avodov when he woke up and had the dream that he was told that he's going to have tremendous wisdom, he made a Suda, he made a Mishteh Gadol L'chol Avodov. V'kasha asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Ma Inyan Zeh L'gomer Shal Torah? What has one got to do with the other? Why is the Shlomo HaMelech waking up, having been told that he's going to become a tremendous chacham, he makes a mishteh? What has that got to do with Gomer Shel Torah? He hasn't completed anything yet. Ma inyan zeh leGomer Shel Torah? V'yesh lema, says Reb Chaim, to Gomer Shel Torah, the completion of Torah, haynu b'simchas Torah, k'shegoymrin ha'kriya shel ha'Torah, when you finish the reading of Torah, k'mo shekosuv ba'armo ba'aruchayim simen tofrei samach tes, we make a festive meal having finished the entire Torah. You could say, what are you celebrating? You've finished the written Torah, you've gone through the entire Bereishis and Shemois and Vayikrim, Amidbar and Dvarim, but you haven't yet completed all of Torah Shebal Peh, you've just completed Torah Shebichsav. What right do we have to make any celebration? Says Reb Chaim, Ach, Mimasha also Shlomo HaMelech Suda. But from that which Shlomo HaMelech made the Suda, Kashenizbaser al HaChochma, when he got the good news of Chochma, that he was going to become the wisest of all men, Afal Pisha Bevada Adayin HaYetzorech Lilmeit, but he surely, when he woke up and after he was told this, he's still going to have to actually sit down and learn the last week by Torah, Muchach da is in suda gam kishlehichin bepoel kolatzoirich rak bekoyach. It's sufficient to make a celebration once there is potential, not that you actually have to actualize the potential yet. Because Shlomo HaMelech hadn't yet learned anything. He just woke up. He was just told he's going to become a Chacham. Of course, he's then going to sit down and roll his sleeves up and schwitz and learn all of Torah. But the very fact that he's found out that he had the potential to do it, that is cause for celebration in and of itself. For Hachanami, so too, Begomer Shel Torah Shebichtav, when we finished the entire Torah Shebichtav, which is on Simchas Torah, Hichkim Bekayach Sheyeyoch Lasuk B'Torah Shebal Peh, then Shlomo HaMelech realized that I now have the ability to engage and to learn and to master Torah Shebal Peh, the Lekamid Dilermiz B'Torah Shebichtav, V'Mizke Yimotze. All I've got to do is just assert myself. So you see a very powerful limud from this medrash in Koheles Rabbah, that Shlomo HaMelech made a celebration when he realized he had the potential and he decided he had the commitment to master Torah. And that itself is a cause for celebration. And that really is what happens on Simchas Torah. We finish Torah Shebichtav, but we haven't yet mastered all of Torah Shebal Peh. But once we finish Torah Shebichtav and there is an undertaking to try and master as much Torah as possible, that itself is a cause for celebration. And that really is what Shlomo HaMelech is teaching us, celebrating the opportunity to start again and to learn Torah. So there we have it. Four ideas to think about over Sukkos. Number one, the idea of Rameli Melech Bidman, the Mercedes. Sometimes we confuse the Ikka and the Tofel, that the security guard missed the actual Mercedes going through. That was what was being smuggled. But he was looking for the Tofel. Well, that's what really Sukkos reminds us about. What is Ikka and what is Tofel? That a life of Ruchnius is, of course, the Ikka and not material pursuits and possessions. And that is Merumas says, I saw this in the writing of Yisrael Miller, from Nochem Zev Ziv of Kelm, that is Merumas in Rava's explanation of a sukkah. That a sukkah more than 20 amos is no good. Why? Because a sukkah more than 20 amos has to be made out of sturdy material. Once it has to be made out of that, that means you're sort of caught up in materialism. Materialism is okay, so long as you're in control of it and it's not in control of you. And therefore, up to 20 amos, lower than 20 amos in other words, when you can make the walls out of flimsy material or of sturdy material, you're in control of it. Then that could be as Mansim Choseinu. But once it's more than 20 amos, where it has to be made out of Diras Keva, then you're in trouble. Then we discussed on the end of the Torah, the accolade, the praise of Moshe Rabbeinu, L'chol Yad HaChazok, etc. And he broke the Torah, L'Enei Kod Yisrael. Why is that the greatest praise of Torah? So two Mahalchim. One was the Be'er Yosef, who explained that this represents the mastery of Torah, Shebal Peh, Ur Torah Shebichsav. And that really is allowed for the ongoing preservation of Torah. And the second idea was, it shows the amazing Mesiris Nefesh of Moshe Rabbeinu, the intellectual honesty of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was willing to sort of forego his personal life goal in order to put his intellectual honesty first. And that really is what Rabbi Kiva saw in Shimon HaMsuni. And lastly, the idea of Chaim Kanievsky, that the Medrash says that Shlomo HaMelech woke up and he had a dream and he made the Mishneh L'chol Avodov. He's celebrating the opportunity, the potential. That itself is worth celebrating. Mr. Shem, we shall be Zocha to have a wonderful Yontov and to complete Torah, but to complete it with a renewed commitment to master and to learn and celebrate the opportunity to engage in Torah one more time.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.